Dearest Jesus, our blessed Redeemer, we pray that you would be with us this day as we gather to hear your word. Grant us sincere repentance from all sin and move us to live our lives in loving service to you and in joyous anticipation of your return. Amen. Welcome to today's service in the name of the Lord Jesus, our resurrected Redeemer. We pray that the Spirit of God will be poured out upon us today richly as we worship our Savior God in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We have come into the presence of God who created us to love and serve Him as His dear children, but we have disobeyed Him and deserve only His wrath and punishment. Therefore, let us confess our sins to him and plead for his mercy. Merciful Father in heaven, I am altogether sinful from birth. In countless ways I have sinned against you and do not deserve to be called your child. But trusting in Jesus my Savior, I pray, have mercy on me according to your unfailing love. Cleanse me from my sin and take away my guilt. God, our Heavenly Father, has forgiven you all your sins. By the perfect life, the innocent death of our Lord Jesus Christ, he has removed your guilt forever, and you are his own dear child. May God grant us grace and strength to live according to his will. Amen.
Lord, have mercy on us. Christ, have mercy on us. Lord, have mercy on us. Glory to God, we give you thanks and praise.
of heavenly joy and peace on earth. We sing, we worship you. To you our hearts we raise, Lord God Almighty, Father, Heavenly King. Lord Jesus Christ, the Father's only Son, you bore for us the load of this world's sin. O Lamb of God, your glorious victory won, receive our prayer, grant us your peace within. Alone, O Christ, you only are the Lord, at God's right hand in majesty most high, who with the Spirit worshipped and adored, with all the heavenly host we glorify. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you delivered your Son for our offenses and raised him again for our justification. We ask you, grant us your Holy Spirit that he may always enlighten and sanctify us, graciously keep us in the true faith, and after this life, raise us to eternal life. This we pray through Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Good morning. First of our Bible readings on this, the first Sunday of Easter, I should say the second Sunday of Easter, is written in 1 John chapter 5, where the Apostle John teaches us that it is through the risen Savior, his life and death for us, his resurrection, our faith in him, that we are enabled by his Spirit to overcome the world and all the things that we experience in this world that would hurt and do damage to our faith. We read this lesson in 1 John 5, the verses 1 to 5. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? So far, the first lesson. Let's join in the Easter acclamation now as printed in your bulletin. The Lord is risen.
He has risen indeed.
Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His steadfast love endures forever.
The Lord has risen indeed. The Lord has risen.
He has risen indeed.
The Lord's mighty arm has triumphed. His power has brought us victory.
I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord.
When Christ, who is our life, appears, then we also will appear with him in glory. Let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. Our next lesson is recorded in the Gospel of John, reading in the 20th chapter, verse 19 to 31. This is one of 12 instances that the Bible records of Jesus showing himself alive to his disciples during those 40 days after the resurrection before he ascended into heaven. This is the Easter night appearance to the disciples, and then a week later, Thomas being present. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you withhold forgiveness from any, it is withheld." Now Thomas, one of the 12 called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and place my finger into the mark of the nails and place my hand into his side, I will never believe." 8 days later, his disciples were inside again, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Here ends the second lesson. Blessed are they who hear the word of God and treasure it. Alleluia.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. These words are written that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia.
Let us now confess our Christian faith using the words of the Nicene Creed printed on the last page of the liturgy insert. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from His Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. God's word for consideration today is written in the book of Acts in the third chapter, verses 11 to 21. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this, or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we've made him walk? God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong whom you see and know, and the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. So far the text. In the name of our risen Redeemer, Jesus, dearly beloved of God, did you enjoy a bountiful Easter meal last Sunday? Now, one of the side blessings of holidays like Easter is joining with friends and family in partaking of ample amounts of mouth-watering food. And then there are the leftovers to enjoy after the holiday, remnants of the ham or beef roast or extra Easter eggs to crack open and enjoy, sprinkled with salt and pepper, tasty desserts. Kids, of course, they love to enjoy the remains of the Easter candy. Now, that being said, it's also true, is it not, that the remnants of Easter dinner are, generally speaking, not quite as good as the day of originals, the warmed over meat not as delectable, side dishes not quite as tasty as when they're fresh out of the crock pot. Sometimes one may even need to dispose of leftovers because they're no longer edible because of becoming stale or even spoiled. But how different with the lavish meal that our God prepared for us on Easter Day for our soul's consumption. The joy of his being raised for our justification after having been delivered up for our offenses, that joy does not diminish with the passing of a day on the calendar. The meal he provided for our soul's nourishment, the comfort and peace of the message of Easter Sunday, is still being served for our highest blessing. And we'll see how this is true this morning as we consider a text from the Bible book of Acts and the story that the Holy Spirit recorded for us there under the theme, "The Sumptuous Easter Feast Continues." Now, the background for this particular text from Acts, the time and place where it happened, and the circumstances that precipitated what we read here are as follows. Christ's resurrection is about maybe 2 months in the past. His ascension has happened. His promised sending of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost has occurred. And it was not long after that event of the sending of the Holy Spirit on Pentecost that the disciples Peter and John went to the temple at the hour of prayer, which was 3 p.m. And as they approached the door into the temple grounds, the door that was called the Beautiful Gate, they observed a man sitting there who had been born lame, apparently carried there by friends or family, and asking people who walked into the temple courts for an alms, for a donation. It was his regular custom because he didn't have any other way to provide for himself. And looking at Peter when he and John went through that temple door, Peter looked right at him and said, "Look up at us." And the man, you can imagine his face was kind of down. He looked up and right into the face of Peter, and Peter said to him, "I don't have any money to give you, but what I have, I'm going to share. In the name of Jesus Christ from Nazareth, get up and start walking." And then he took him by the right hand, helped him stand. His feet and ankles suddenly started coursing with strength, and he jumped up and started walking for the very first time, and then he accompanied Peter and John into the temple, jumping and praising God. And then we get to our text. We read how, as this man was holding on to Peter, probably hugging him, and people hurrying over to get a look, astounded, seeing this man whom they'd seen at the temple beautiful gate for years, begging for alms countless times, wondering how in the world Peter took a position in Solomon's portico, which was a covered colonnade situated on the east side of the temple grounds, and he delivered a grand Easter message. I'd like to repeat a portion of it for you, as we read in our text. "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this and stare at us as though by our power or piety we made the lame man walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered to be crucified and denied in the presence of Governor Pilate when he had decided to let him go. But you denied the holy and the righteous one, and you asked for a murderer, Barabbas, to be released instead, and you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead, and we're witnesses of it. We've seen Jesus alive, and it is by the power of the risen Savior's name that this man whom you see and know has been made strong and restored to soundness of health." Friends, that's basically the message. Same message of Peter on that day, the message that we hear as often as the Easter gospel is preached. The good news of Jesus' life and death and resurrection for our salvation, which he has used to restore our souls to perfect spiritual health, which is a beautiful fulfillment of what the prophet Isaiah wrote some, 800 years earlier. Beautiful section from Isaiah chapter 40. You've probably heard this pretty familiar section. Beautiful. "The Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he does not faint or grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases strength. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted, but they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not grow faint." That's a description of the spiritual vitality and vigor and energy the Lord gives to his people through the Easter gospel. The message Jesus proclaimed to his apostles on Easter night, as we heard, when he appeared to them behind the closed doors And then 8 days later, with Doubting Thomas being present, when he said, actually repeated it three times, twice on Easter night, and then to Thomas and the whole group a week later, when he said, "Peace be to you." Spiritual peace, to substantiate for them, to verify and confirm three all-important heavenly truths for their soul's comfort and their nourishment, that your sins have been blotted out through faith in my name. I have removed from you the sting of death, and I have crushed the serpent's head so that he poses no threat to you anymore. And have you ever noticed in your reading of the Bible, study of it, how the Lord frequently pictures these blessings to us, which he serves up for our soul's comfort and strengthening as a feast or a dinner or a great supper or a banquet? Few examples, back to Isaiah the prophet in chapter 25, where he wrote, "O Lord, you are my God, I will exalt you, I will praise your name, for you've done wonderful things. You will make for all peoples a feast of rich food and the best of meats and the finest of wines." David in Psalm 63, "O God, my soul thirsts for you in a dry and weary land where there's no water. My soul will be satisfied as with the richest of foods." Jesus in several parables, one of them where he said, "A certain man prepared a great banquet and invited many guests and then sent out a servant to tell the invitees, 'Come, for all things are now ready.'" And who can forget the shepherd, Psalm 23, where King David wrote, "You prepare a what before me in the presence of my enemies? A table furnished with delectable food for the soul in the gospel of the Savior." I believe the Lord used these pictures so frequently because he knows that we can relate, and he knows that we know what it's like to have our physical appetites satisfied by a delicious smorgasbord of choice foods and drinks, and afterwards retire to the living room or the TV room to relax and visit, thinking to ourselves, "Oh, wasn't that great?" And so the blessings of his gospel serve that purpose for our soul's highest good. They satisfy our deepest spiritual need, assuring us, as mentioned, our sins have been blotted out through the blood of Christ, crucified and risen. Death's sting has been removed and the devil divested of his power so that he can harm us no more. And also a great characteristic of this meal the Savior has prepared for our soul's delight is that the portions never run out, as may happen with items on the Easter menu at home. "Sorry, dear, no more apple pie left. Uncle George took the last piece." It's not the case with the Lord's sumptuous Easter feast. Its supply is endless. And let's be reminded also of the Lord's goodness on this Sunday of the calendar, or of the month, first Sunday, of the Lord providing a delicious, sumptuous banquet for the soul in the Lord's Supper. Maybe notice that also in many of our communion hymns, the same imagery is used of a feast. "Lord Jesus Christ, you have prepared a feast for our salvation. It is thy body and thy blood, and at thy invitation, as weary souls with sin oppressed, we come to thee for needed rest, for comfort, and for pardon." Or in another of our hymns, "He who his saints in this world rules and shields, to all believers life eternal yields, with heavenly bread makes the hungry whole, and he gives living water to the thirsting soul." And one more, "The feast, this feast is manna, wealth abounding, unto the poor, to weak ones power, to angels joy, to hell confounding, and life for us in death's dark hour." the blessings we receive, the nourishment for the soul through the receiving Jesus' true body and blood with the bread and wine and the Lord's Supper. With the Lord nourishing us with his Easter gospel, assuring us, I am he who was dead and now I'm alive forever. I'm alive to grant you rich supply and to grant you guidance by my eye. Accompanying you to the end of the age, we may truly, as Jesus said to the disciples that night, be at peace. Whatever happens in this broken down, crazy world we live in, if the threat of war doesn't go away, if the economy slows down, if there are tornadoes and mudslides and earthquakes that happen or tremors in our own individual lives, we still know that because of the Lord, all is well. And he will continue to furnish us with the needed stamina, vitality for running our Christian race. And to do as that healed man did in the temple that day, to walk and to jump, not necessarily physically, we might not be able to do that anymore, but spiritually, walking with the Lord and running joyfully in the way of his commandments, knowing that we have in our possession his gift of eternal life. And let's also be reminded, friends, that this refreshment that the Lord gives us by his grace for our souls in such ample supply is something that we are blessed to share with others for their spiritual vitality too. We read in our text Peter's message from Solomon's portico to the crowd listening there. He said, "Now, brothers, I know you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers, but what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive till the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his prophets long ago." This was the Lord's gracious invite to that whole crowd through his spokesman disciple to find salvation through repentance and faith in Christ. Were they responsible for his death? Yes. Did Christ, by his suffering at their hands, fulfill the scriptures that foretold that this would happen? Yes. Were they spiritually beyond hope and recovery, destined to spend an eternity apart from the Lord in hell's misery because of their wicked deed? No. The same refreshment for the spirit, same nourishing message for the soul of the Lord's pardoning grace in Christ was for them too. We're told in the very next chapter, if you read on into chapter 4, that many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of those who were added to the church mushroomed from 3 to 5,000. The Lord has given you and me the same privilege as his disciples that day, which we'll be reminded of in a couple weeks at our Mission Fest service up in Cheyenne, that we can always be sure what the hymn writer says, "Lo, many shall come from the east and the west and sit at the feast of salvation with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob the blessed, accepting the Lord's invitation." The Lord is always going to use his word, powerful that it is, to supply satisfaction, joy, and peace to numerous souls for which Jesus died. No matter what the goings on in the world are, societal evils multiplying, people trying, probably heard that last week, in their spiritual waywardness to transform Easter from the day to celebrate Jesus coming alive as our Savior, the Savior of the whole world, to a day of visibility for a certain group of people. Be sure, in spite of all that going on in the world around us, as societal evils, the Lord will continue to use his word to transform people to faith in him. And he will always be visible to his people, seen with Holy Spirit-given eyes of faith and also seen in the lives that we live for his praise. And then, of course, finally, he will be seen in person, up close. He will be visible to everyone. The last verse of our text, when the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago happens on Judgment Day. Remember what Job said, I know that my Redeemer lives. With my own eyes, I will see him, even though my body is destroyed, because the Lord will resurrect me and give me a perfect body when he comes back on the last day, and I will rejoice with him in heaven forever. Till then, friends, let us savor the meal the Lord has prepared for our enjoyment. Let us partake of it often. Let us think of our church as being a eatery for the soul. It's actually, every time you open up your Bible and study it, it's an eatery for the soul. We can say every time we gather here, let us feast this Easter day on Christ, the bread of heaven. His word of grace has purged away the old and evil leaven. Christ alone our souls will feed. He is our meat and drink indeed. Faith lives upon no other. Alleluia. Amen. The peace of God, which is able to protect you far more effectively than the human mind, guard your hearts and thoughts through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Uphold with your Spirit free.
Invite you to rise for prayer. One special petition we desire to offer this morning is a prayer of comfort for the family and the friends of retired pastor, Professor David Lau, who was called to his eternal rest this past Wednesday. His funeral will be in Eau Claire at Messiah Lutheran at a date that is to be determined. Heavenly Father, our hearts are saddened by the death of David Lau. Even as we mourn, help us rejoice in the blessings your love gave him during his time of grace. You redeemed him from his sins by your son's death on the cross. You chose him to be yours and then made him yours through faith in his Savior. You kept him steadfast in faith and did not let him perish in death, but gave him eternal life. And now he's privileged to see you perfectly face to face, while we yet see you imperfectly with eyes of faith. Keep us as objects of your love, enabling us to walk by faith through life and in death to be welcomed by you to heaven. When our Savior comes on the last day to raise our bodies from death, may he glorify us and all believers with the glory he shares with you. Make us joyful in this hope as we commit ourselves, body and soul, for time and eternity to your loving care. In our Savior's name, amen. God of all grace, mercy, and peace, by the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, you declared him to be your Son and our Savior. By the faithful testimony of the apostles, you have given us the confidence that our faith stands upon a most true record. Grant to us the daily power of your Holy Spirit through your word of truth, that our hearts may always rest on your sure promises. Preserve and defend us, O Lord, from all attacks upon our souls, so that we may firmly hold on to the profession of our faith without wavering. Deliver us from doubt and despair. Save us from false teaching and from the empty philosophies and the supposed wisdom of the world. Secure our hearts with your teaching, the spirit of truth, and the mind of Christ. Move our hearts to daily desire the pure teaching and refreshing comfort of your word, the Holy Scriptures. Help us always to find Jesus in them with eyes of faith. Though we do not yet see him, lead us to love him more and more with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the goal of our faith, the salvation of our souls. Empower your church, dear God, so that we may faithfully proclaim your word, spreading the gospel of our risen Savior with courage and boldness in all lands and to all people. Give to each believer here today joy in the promise of life eternal through the crucified and risen Savior, and urgency to share this saving message with all those who do not yet know him, that they too may be blessed with life eternal. Dear Lord, you know the desires and needs in each heart. Give your loving attention to the supplications that arise to you from every believer. And if in your wisdom you have permitted a cross of trouble or sorrow to come into our lives, give us the confidence that you will not permit us to be tested beyond our ability, but that you will show us the way of escape, that we may be able to bear it. Grant to all your people daily repentance and the full assurance of forgiveness in Christ. Strengthen the doubting and those weak in faith. Bring back the forgetful and the wayward, and comfort the anxious and distressed as we go from this blessed place today. Grant us your peace. All this we pray in the name of Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. We also join in praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. The liturgy continues, middle of page 17. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your head, your hearts. It is right and beneficial that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and everlasting God, and we praise you, especially for the glorious resurrection of your Son, the true Passover Lamb, who by his sacrifice took away the sins of the world, and by his resurrection restored everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and saying,
Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of Sabaoth adored. In the highest, sing Hosanna to the Lord. Blessed he who comes in the name of the Lord.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. The same way also he took the cup after supper, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
O Lamb of God, O Christ our Lord, whose blood once shed true life restored, impart your joy, our faith increase, sustain with your mercy and grant us your peace.
At this time, our communicant members may come forward for receiving the sacrament at the direction of the usher. Please rise for the closing liturgy, which begins on the top of page 20.
O Lord, now let your servant depart in heavenly peace, for I have seen the glory of your redeeming grace, a light to lead the Gentiles unto your holy hill. Glory of your people, your chosen Israel. All glory to the Father, all glory to the Son, all glory to the Spirit, forever three in one. For as in the beginning, is now, shall ever be, God's triune name resounding through all eternity.
Go in peace and serve the Lord with gladness.
Heart has now become your dwelling, O blessed Holy Trinity. With angels I your praises telling, shall live in joy eternally. Lord, may your body and your blood be for my soul the highest good.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
You may be seated for the closing hymn, and please note the stanzas as noted on the hymn board for that hymn, stanzas 1, 4, and 8.